Job chapter number 23. If you'll please stand in the honor of reading our Father's holy word here today. I'd like to read the first 10 verses here. The Bible says, "Then Job answered and said, 'Even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him, so should I be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he's not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him.'" But verse 10, "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." If you look back earlier here in the chapter, verse number 4, if Job had been able to find God's seat, he said, "I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments." Job's got a few things on his heart. His mind is filled with questions. There are things he really desperately wants to say and ask, but he finds himself at a dead stop. I dare say it's not just because he can't find where God sits, but because we all know you don't ask God. I'd like to bring our sermon here on this thought today. Don't question God. Question mark. It's a question that I'm asking. Don't question God. Our most gracious Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, once again for loving us, for saving us, for the opportunity, the privilege, the joy to get to stand here and bring your word to your people today. And I hope and pray, Father, that everyone here will be able to get a hold of some truth here today. Some truth that would be of help to them. Not just today, but tomorrow and throughout the course of the week. We do pray, Lord, for each and everyone that is here, for your blessings upon them. And we ask you, Father, for those who couldn't be here today due to illness or work, whatever the case would be, Lord, that they'd be able to join us at the next appointed time. We ask, Father, for your blessings upon the Tuesday night Bible studies. Last week got us very excited, and we're looking forward, Lord, to what you've got for us, that the Bible study will also continue to grow. We pray, Father, that this church will continue to grow to be what you'd have for it to be here in Whiting. Thank you, Father, for loving us and saving us. In the precious name of Jesus, we do ask you, Lord. Asking also, Father, for your blessings on all the prayer requests. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I think it's safe to say that as humans, we all have questions that we'd love to have some answers to. We have notions in our minds that we would desperately love to have someone come along without having to be asked and just fill us in. God, why is this happening? I don't understand why this is happening, but something's going to come along. And we know that God can do all things. It's just the part where he doesn't do it the way we really would like. That gets so annoying at times. And that doesn't even include the hard times. It doesn't include those times when the brethren themselves are piling on us. Y'all know I'm my own favorite target here, so I'll go ahead and speak. These last couple of months, they've been rough on me. Some of you saw Facebook post that I made several weeks back. Facebook asked what was on my mind, and at that moment, I just told what was on my mind. For good or bad, I did. Y'all know I'm not a good singer, and I'm not trying to get anyone to say, oh, you're full of it. Yes, you are. No, I'm not, and I know it. But when you have someone you trust tell you that you sang better when you sang like yourself, it hurts, it stings. When they tell you you sang a whole lot better when you were younger, now you're just trying to copy somebody else and you had no idea you were trying to copy anyone, it gets to you. It has the effect, Brother Frank, where every time you get up to try to sing, the first thought comes to your mind is you're not good enough. You know that people don't like it. Why are you doing it? You start having individuals come along and tell you, you're a horrible preacher. I admit it. You all are the gluttons for punishment who keep having me back. Oh, and I've been called a yeller. That's what I do. I just yell. I don't have any substance in the sermons. I just yell. Okay? I'm excited about what little I got. I admit it. You don't want me to get excited? Give me a copy of Time Magazine. Give me a newspaper. I'll keep quiet. That if I had any actual sound doctrine, I wouldn't need to get loud, because getting loud is just simply a way to make up for other deficiencies. And I'm not here for your pity. I'm just letting you know what's on my heart, what has helped to lead to this sermon here today. Because when everybody comes and they're harassing you one way or another, whether they intend to or not, whether they are trying to harass you or they're trying to help you, it gets to you. And the absolute worst person to allow to get inside of your head is yourself. Because then you start to sit here and to question everything. Everything is chewing at you, twisting you up, binding you up, squeezing you, squeezing the very life out of you. Boy, that looks so tempting to wave the white flag and throw in the towel. And you're crying out to your Father. Brother Frank, you picked some wonderful songs leading up to the sermon here today. I couldn't have done a better job. I cry to my Father, how can this be? But I'm still waiting for Him to say, my child, I am with thee. And that hurts. I'm Chicken Little when it comes to pain. Spiritual pain's the worst. I think Job would agree with me on that. And I want so desperately for God to talk to me. For God to answer the questions. But I find, like Job, I keep running into the same thing over and over and over again. You don't ask God questions. As we read through here, when does Job question God? He says, yeah, I'd like to know where he's at. I'm looking all over. I can't find him. But he's not actually asking questions. He's got the questions. He's got the arguments made for his point of view. He ain't got the ability to do anything, because you do not go to God and question Him. So let's deal with this subject of don't question God. Number one. Why can't we ask God? Have we ever tried to ask God why?
Have we ever actually gone to God and said, God, I don't understand. Would you please explain yourself? Brother Frank, there are some people in this church who were born Baptist, raised Baptist. They've never even seen a Catholic church inside a television program, let alone in real life. They just crossed themselves over that. That's how serious of a question that was. How dare he say we ask God a question? But we have been brought up in that mindset that you do not ask God. Where does the Bible say that? Think about that one for a moment, church. Where does the Bible say we cannot ask God? He says here in verse number 2, even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groanings. Words fail to express themselves how he feels. He's being beaten in every way, shape, or form. He's done lost all of his wealth. He's done lost all of his kids. He's done lost his health. Even his wife has come along there. And yes, excuse me, she's also lost her family. She's also lost her money. But she comes along and says, hey, why don't you just curse God and die? That's what they would do there in the ancient Near East. They would curse their gods and die. Give up on life. If the gods cannot protect you, then just curse them and die. That's what she's telling him. So even his wife, though she may love him, she has turned her back on him. And he can't express how badly hurt he is at the moment. His three friends have come along. Job, you've done some sin for this to happen to you. And remember, he doesn't know most of chapters 1 and 2. We know it from hindsight. He's living it at the moment. He doesn't have a clue as to what is going on. He just knows he's being beaten. He's on the ground. He's being kicked. He's having dirt rubbed in his eyes. He's having his face rubbed in it. He's being given noogies. He can't take it. He can't express himself. It hurts so bad. And then there's verse 3. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. He's so messed up, he doesn't even know where to go to find God. Because once he finds God, he can ask him why. So often we have these problems, we have these difficulties because we're not living as we need to be. There's something wrong in our lives that we need to get straightened out. Remember the Bible says your sins have hid you from God. Your iniquities have separated you from Him. We need to get some things cleared up out of our lives so that we can finally have the full access to the throne of grace. But he's so messed up that no matter how much he might want to ask, he can't do it. And sometimes we can't ask because we're not in a position to be able to ask. So what questions do we ask then if we've got questions to ask and that we can't ask? Well, verse 4. He says, I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I've got questions, I've got reasonings, I've got explanations for what is going on here. And I so much would like to, but sometimes it's a matter, Brother Howard, we've got the wrong questions. There's answers for us, but we're asking the wrong way. Sometimes it's a matter of we ask, God, can I have this? Didn't even give him a chance to respond. Remember the unjust judge that Jesus told us about over there in Luke's Gospel chapter number 18? That woman came to that unjust judge every single day asking him constantly to avenge her till finally he got to the point, she's going to drive me nuts if I don't do something. How about we start driving God nuts on a subject? God, I've got problems. How about give me a little bit? Give me something, please. is not going to kill us to ask.
Amen.
It might kill us not to, though. Ignorance is not always bliss, church. How do we ask then?
Glad you asked. Verses 8 and 9.
Behold, I go forward, but he's not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. He can't see God, he can't hear God, so how does he ask? The thing to remember is that during the test, the teacher's always quiet. I remember years ago, I was 7th grade, social studies, Mr. Glowacki, cool dude, liked him. What he would do is for when he would give a test, he would grade it, he'd give us a test on Friday, grade it over the weekend, Monday morning, come in, hand us our papers back, and then we would go over the test with him there in class. And he would do this because occasionally he understood he's human and he might make a mistake and grade it incorrectly. There might be a question that in his mind made perfect sense when he wrote out the test, but it made no sense to us students because he knew the full answer. We didn't. And we had this one time, I believe we would go like 2 weeks and then have a test and then 2 weeks another test. Anyways, we got up to the Great Depression. And he brought up that whenever he will talk about the Depression, he will always specify the Great Depression because there have been several depressions during the course of America. So I remember this. It comes time for the test there, Miss Jeannie. And we get down so far there on this test, and it was about the Depression and whatever it was. And I'll be honest with you, I totally blanked on it. I'm looking at this thing, I'm like, I should know the answer to this one. But mate, what if the reason why I don't know the answer to this one is because I'm thinking the Great Depression, and this is one of the other depressions, because he said the Depression. He didn't say Great Depression. So I literally, Brother Frank, on my paper I wrote, which depression are you talking about? Because I didn't know, and it's in the middle of class, so you can't ask questions in class. Hello, it's a test. So I wrote it down on there, and I wrote my answer. Monday morning comes back, I get my test, I'm looking at it, and of course I got it wrong. So as we are going over it, we get down to that question. I raise my hand. Which depression were you talking about? And I heard some snickering amongst my classmates. And he says, the Great Depression. Well, you didn't specify that. And you said that you would always specify if you were talking about the Great Depression. Well, Dennis, come on. Common sense here. It would have been the Depression. If you'd have asked me that during class, I'd have worked with you on it. I said, but it was a test. We can't exactly ask you during the test. Well, if you'd have wrote it down somewhere and could prove that you would have asked me then, I just picked up my paper and turned around and says, but I did. There's no more snickering at this point. Everybody's now looking at me, and he's making a beeline for me. He took the paper, looked at me, and says, all right, I'm throwing out that question for you. Cheers erupt. And he turned and says, no, I said him. He's the only one who asked. And he asked during the test. The teacher may not answer during the test, church, but he takes note that we did ask. And when the time comes, he will give an answer. Now maybe he doesn't say it out loud. Maybe the answer will take years to come, minutes to come. Maybe the answer is a neon sign. Maybe it's just some little piece of paper that all of a sudden appears and boom, there it is. I don't know whatever the case would be, but he will answer somehow, some way. And occasionally the answer might just simply be, no, that's not for you to worry about. Okay, well, let's be fair here. We don't get to know everything. We don't need to know everything. But sometimes we can't get an answer. How do we ask? You know, sometimes we don't need to actually ask the question, because God understands how badly hurting we are. Just how terribly confused we are. And with the way the tears are flowing, the way that our minds are hardly working. The Bible says that's when the Holy Spirit takes over. There in Romans chapter 8, verse number 26, likewise the Spirit, that's capital S, so the Holy Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Holy Spirit knows that we so desperately want to ask. We just don't get it. And He'll talk to the Father on our behalf.
Amen.
But make sure when you do ask, part of that how you go about asking is where you are not being accusatory. He ain't going to work with a bitter attitude. He ain't going to work with a "you owe me this one" attitude. He ain't going to work with anger, hostility, fear, condemnation, anger, lust, disrespect, doubt. These all block the questions from getting through. That's why you hear about, well, you keep hitting the ceiling with your prayers. You can't get them past that. Well, because we erected a ceiling that got no business being there. Get all that nonsense cleared up and see just how well communication starts flowing between you and heaven. But you know what? That leads to a very pertinent question then. Should we ask? Verse 10. But He knoweth the way that I take when He hath tried me. I shall come forth as gold. He knoweth the way that I should take. God already knows it all already. So why do we need to ask then? Well, because we're supposed to put our faith into action. Asking. Praying. That's part of how we exercise our faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Miss Martha, that word diligently is a beautiful word. I think White Castle likes that because, you know, they've got their Craver Nation slogan. The word diligently means to crave. This is something you're going to go after. This past Monday, Helene had to work Sunday. She got home really late because of what all she had to do there with the parking and whatnot for there at the Mascot Hall of Fame. So the next morning, I got up. I did what I need to do. She still wasn't up. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to go to the store. I'm going to get some food for the week. And I got to the store and I realized, you know what I really would like to have? We tend to make pizzas on Saturdays. Not every Saturday, but we tend to. And Brother Frank, I just had me a craving for a home run in pizza. And so when I got to the store, I'm doing the shopping, I get over to the frozen food section, and I didn't care if the pizza was on sale there or not, Miss Thelma. I just went ahead and I grabbed me a home run in pizza, classic I think it is, so it's got the four cheeses on there. I stopped over and I got me a package of pepperoni, because I like pepperoni, she don't, so I like the pepperoni and half this pizza. I got us a couple of bags of shredded mozzarella cheese, because bless God, they don't put enough cheese on those pizzas. They put
put the right amount of sauce, because I don't like sauce. I like their sauce. They put just enough on there. And we had us a can of mushrooms I bought at home, but I wasn't 100% sure. So when I got home, I went looking and I diligently searched, because I do like to have some mushrooms on the pizza. If you don't, well, again, we'll be praying for your soul. But I put the mushrooms all on the pizza there. I put the cheese on there and I put the pepperoni on it. I did that part there last night. I did not pre-make the pizza. I waited till yesterday. I got that oven fired up, got that pizza made up. It's the right time. I stuck it there in the oven. It came out. Now, by the way, just to let you all know, I put double pepperoni on there, which literally means two slices of pepperoni, one right on top of the other. So is that when it comes out of that oven, I set it to the side for like 5-10 minutes at the most. It's still hot, but not too hot. I'll go over there, Brother Frank. Don't tell nobody. This is just between me and you. I'll go over there, and I picked off the top piece of pepperoni and ate it while it was still nice and hot. Woo! That was good stuff there, because I was craving it. I wanted it. I needed pepperoni coming out of the oven. It's good occasionally to come out of the microwave, but it just don't taste the same as it does when it comes out of the oven. And I was hankering for it something. That's the same way that God wants us to come to Him, with such faith that we so crave to seek Him, to search Him out, to find Him, so that we can crawl up into Daddy's lap and we ask Him, Father, this is what's going on. Daddy, can I please tell you what's going on in my life? This is what's bothering me. This is what's been blessing me. This is what I need to thank you for. This is what I need to confess about. God, I just need some time with my Daddy. That's the type of craving that He hankers for from us, that He so diligently wants us to be given to Him. Should we ask? You betcha. That leads us to our final point. Back in verse 6, may we ask. Will He plead against me with His great power? No. I like that. Right after that word no is a semicolon. Change in thought, same subject. But He would put strength in me. How else are we going to get help if we don't come and ask? By the way, prayer blows the mind. We're not supposed to ask God why, yet prayer is asking God. So it's okay to pray. It's just we're not supposed to ask why. Yes, we can. Amen. No, we're not. We're not always going to get an answer. Okay. Prime example for both ends of that. Should we ask God? Yes. And can we expect an answer all the time? No. Jesus Christ hanging there on the cross of Calvary. Can we agree that we are Christians today? The word Christian means Christ-like. That Jesus is supposed to be the example for us. He's hanging there on the cross of Calvary. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? There's Jesus, God in the flesh. And He's asking why. He also didn't get a response. We're not always going to get a response. Sometimes we'll just pause and think when we ask why and realize, hey, wait a minute. Jesus knew why. Maybe I also already know why. But it's a matter of asking that why that kind of turns the lock with the key and unlocks our minds to where it's like, oh yeah, that's right, duh. I already know why. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. It says that, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. That statement there is a command to come to the throne of grace boldly. That's why we have an altar call at the end of services. By the way, just to let you all know, in case I never said this before, that altar's always open. You don't have to wait till the end of the church service if you need to do business with God. By the way, you can also do business with God there in your seats. The whole idea of coming forward to the altar there is simply to lay aside pride and let God know, hey, I'm coming fully exposed to you. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace is an invitation to come to Him. We get to go to the Father anytime we want. We just have to want. But the last part here, it's a sad thing that many don't come boldly to the throne of grace. Because we let the world shame us. We let the world convince us that our problem ain't bad enough to deserve getting to go to the throne of grace. We let the world convince us that men don't cry, with our advanced age, we got no business going. With not being of age, we're too young to know what we're doing. That there's always an excuse. I don't read an excuse in that verse. I just see, let us therefore. There's no exceptions made. It's just, come on. Sad thing. So I've got one question for you in closing today as Brother Frank comes with a song for us. Have you tried asking God in complete sincerity? My statement is this, the worst that can happen when we ask is that we get silence. But at least we will have tried. Our gracious Father in heaven, I want to thank You, Lord, for all that You've done for us. And while we certainly understand that we won't always get the answers that we want, we won't always get answers, period, You're not forbidding us from coming. Your ways are definitely not our ways. Your ways are higher than ours. But You've got all the answers. And You're willing to help us in the areas that You deem necessary for us. And if You don't deem it necessary for us, then it's better for us to not have the answers. We thank You, Father, for such great wisdom on Your part. You are wise. You are wonderful. You are awesome. No matter how much this world may want us to doubt You, to spit on You, to turn our backs on You, no matter how far away from You we get, how deep into sin we are, You're still right there for us, ready to receive us. Thank You, Father. I ask, Father, for Your blessings upon each and every one that's here. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen and amen. If you'll please stand.
Page 300.